be completed prior to the beginning of any construction or earlier if required by funding source.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I just want to ask a question. I'm a little confused on this more than the required for parking places for the facility should be required, but the minimum is one per unit. So what is exactly this should be required mean?
It was my understanding that the Planning Commission would prefer there to be six parking places instead of the four. So basically they're saying they would recommend it, but with more than just the minimum of four, which would normally be required.
Well, I guess my comment to that is that these are for locum people. They generally come without a family, so I don't quite understand why they would tie up public lands for extra unused parking places, because I would presume 90% of the time they wouldn't be used. Because even a lot of the locums don't even bring cars, do they?
I believe that's correct. Yeah. The hope is also to use it for inbound permanent staff that may need a place to stay while they find more permanent housing and they may have cars. Personally, the smaller the footprint, the less I have to deal with the Corps of Engineers, so that would make me happy, but I do understand, too, that in the event that we needed to have maintenance staff there working on something, or if they were to have friends over, that sort of thing, I could see where.
But this is, there's on-street parking, I mean, right?
No.
But
not.
Oh, because that's not the paved part, is it?
No.
No.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking it's paved.
It's paved, but it's not.
Doesn't have like gutters or anything.
This is up going to T&H housing, as you go up from the highway up to the curb and just around the curb.
Yes, that's correct. It's just
by where you live?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's just a block or so down from where our house is. Yeah. Okay.
Any further discussion?
It also says in here that in the history that Robert was looking for funding, has that been acquired?
No, and that's part of what the funding hinges on is having the land, the place to build the building. That grant would be, the deadline is the 1st of December, and I guess we'd hear the beginning of the year. So if that were to not come through, then we kind of be back to square one again as far as the buildings go.
But they, if I might, Mr. Mayor, they do have the 15% matching funds for that grant. I understood that from the last meeting.
That would also come out of things that we're doing now, working with Jim Signorva a lot and getting a design together. So all of that pre-work that's being paid for, I believe that the funder in the state of Alaska would accept the land also as part of that 15%.
Oh yeah.
But there are enough other fees and things that will have to be paid for the project to move forward that we would have that 15%.
And presently, if one of the, say the PDI, a visiting physician comes in, they stay at the hotel, is that correct?
So a little bit of back history. The grant itself that would be covering the buildings is through the state to kind of help medical, public safety, and educational folks, not just retain, but also hire. So make it easier for us to hire and then retain staff. So part of the use of it would be for not just the traveling locums that come through, but also for potentially, so sorry. Terrible at this.
Thank you.
Chris Reed, 622 Edlin Street. So the the use of the building initially would probably be for some traveling staff. We have, Vincent is still gone, we hope he'll be back soon, but we have folks in the lab that are travelers, nursing staff. As we move towards more permanent staff, the potential is there to also offer it for those other two entities, the teachers and the public safety officers, including TSA and a few others, if those folks were so interested, and then potentially make it available, you know, to the public, which I don't see, because part of our problem is finding enough places for people to stay in the community, and that's been a bit of a struggle for us. So that's initially where this whole idea came from, is just trying to find locations and not have to keep juggling people from one to the next. So
I guess my question, I didn't articulate it quite. It would be saving money by not paying someone else to house it.
That is correct. So any savings of rent could then go towards a new building, potentially, which would make it even easier to bring people to town as staff. But yes, that would be correct. The building, there might be a portion of it that the hospital would have to pay for. The grant, I believe, is $550,000. So I'm guessing in addition to that 15%, there may be a little more that the hospital would need to cover. But in the long run, it would save the hospital quite a bit to not have to be paying out the rent.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, when I met with Robert Rangan 3 weeks or so ago, he and I had a discussion about that. That was my concern, was how would they pay for the operating expenses of this once the building were constructed. And he indicated that they thought they would save approximately $7,000 a month in expenses, living expenses for travelers and others, transitioned employees once this building is constructed, and that they would be able to use that money toward the operating expenses of the facility, maintenance, et cetera.
Would there be a possibility of attracting other specialists into town if they had some place to stay?
That's always a hope, to bring more specialists. And that could be, if we could at some point dedicate space for that, that would be great to help offset those costs as well. Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further discussion? Poll, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13F, approval for the Wrangell Medical Center to purchase or lease to own an endoscopy machine.
Move to approve the Wrangell Medical Center's purchase or lease to own an endoscopy machine.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13G, discussion item. Nuisance abatement, that's Municipal Code Section 9.08.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
At the goal setting work session with the Assembly, it was made clear that the Assembly would like to see more attention paid to making sure that nuisance abatement, junk vehicles, and were being looked at in a higher priority. And I think that stems from the fact that we are dealing with the fallout of the Byford junkyard property being cleaned up and the massive expense that that meant to the state of Alaska and the community issues that we're dealing with that previously contaminated and now treated soil and what to do with it. And we want to make sure that nothing similar to that ever has an opportunity to start again. And so one of the discussions we've had at the goal setting work session is about how it's very difficult for staff to take on significant efforts toward nuisance abatement, because oftentimes it becomes very unpopular in the community to do that. And the Assembly said they wanted to give clear direction on the record that this is a priority for them and that you are directing staff to take this issue on and to deal with it appropriately.
David, go ahead.
So, just for the public, too, is I'm 100% for this, because I don't think the state's going to come in here and do another, you know, over $10 million job cleaning up a mess that was not taken care of by the city at all or regulated at all. So, I mean, if we don't do something about this now, it's going to happen again. And so I'm 100% for directing the staff to do it.
And I was going to say, I'd like to see on our next agenda this nuisance burning. If we have to revamp the code, or I'd like to see that addressed at our next meeting.
I'll report back on what. Okay. I'll take a look in the code and follow up with Mr. Brewster, and then we'll do a report back to the assembly about that, what needs to be done.
Right, because that sort of plays right into our enforcement.
Yes.
I'd like to say that this was one of the reasons I got in the assembly, because I felt that we had these ordinances that weren't enforced, and there's a number of literal junkyards around town that really don't belong there, and they really impact my way of life when I'm walking around, and I'm sure others see them as well. And I just think we've got it in the code, and there's no reason not to enforce the code.
I'll agree with you. You go to any of the harbor parking lots, Shoemaker, there's a Ford pickup sitting out there. It's been there for a couple of years. It's been getting stripped as it goes. And there's another Conaline van not far from it. And right at the Reliance Harbor, in the parking lot there, there's several junk vehicles. And we've got the landfill cleaned up now, hopefully. And we've got a place to store them. We just need to get them. Most of these vehicles have been tagged and whatever, been through the process of being impounded. They could be removed readily. And the city does have the equipment to do that for sale. The truck that the chief drives with the winch on it was purchased for that purpose, along with a tilt bed trailer, which I don't think has ever been used for what it was purchased for.
Okay.
Yes.
Also, in line with what you're saying, all the things you mentioned were on public property, but there is private property that has boats where there's trees growing out of them, and I believe that they're not going to be used. And that's the definition of a derelict boat. You know, in cars without wheels, without engines, with, you know, just shells sitting around. And you know, if you want to store that stuff, it should be out of public view.
Well, I agree with you, but I think we ought to start with the public property before we go dealing with the private property. I mean, you go to somebody's house and remove a junk vehicle off the yard, when you've got junk vehicles sitting on public property,
it's
not proper.
I concur, Mr. Mayor. Our own house needs to be in order first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's a good point. Any further discussion on this?
Well, along with that, when we had the barge coming in and we had all the scrap metal, I was wondering if you could look into having that come towards Wrangell again. I know that was a special circumstance, but I wonder if we could contact that company. Was it Channel Construction?
Yes.
And see if they're...
I know that the Public Works Director has been in contact with them and is working on other options for when they return again. So, yes, there is ongoing dialogue there, but we can report back on that.
And publicize it a great deal. That would help.
You gave us two papers here. This one looks old.
Which is the one you're looking at?
Okay, this is a single paper?
This one? This is what's in our code.
This is what we did last year. This one here actually says the owner knows no cost shall be assessed or collected when impounding is accomplished by the police department with equipment and facilities normally available to the department. And it goes on saying no cost of storage or anything else, no impound fees, nothing like that. And then this one over here says that we are going, there's going to be a cost and impound fees. I'm just wondering which one we're going by. Aren't we going by the newest one, 2016?
This one's on public property. This the ordinance that you're looking at. This one's about private property, the one that you passed in 2016.
Okay, so this is our property and this is private property. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion?
Well, so we have on the record marching orders.
Okay, thank you. Item 14, attorney's file that is provided in the clerk's office. We have wish to see it. Executive session, we have none. And item we all can wait.
Can I say something else to you about this?
Go ahead.
Okay. I want this public, I want this out there somewhere for people to see, you know, for a while before you guys implement it, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You know, mm-hmm. get this out there. This is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So they got a vehicle they want removed off of there. They better do it.
We need to put together a staff plan on how we're going to handle this. And then there will, of course, be the appropriate media blitz associated with this.
Right.
There needs to be a grace period. When a decision is made like this, we need to say, as of X time, the borough will begin enforcing the rules that are on the books. You have until such time. At that point, whatever the fees or remedies are available within the code will be brought before you. You know, if enforcement comes to bear. So normally there is a fairly significant time period associated with that, because people need to be able to have time to get their affairs in order. And I don't know if you want to give time until next spring to allow people to get affairs in order, because we're coming into the winter season. Or not, that's entirely up to you. But
okay, so the other thing is that when we do that and we give our grace period, mm-hmm. and we start enforcing this, and then you basically get, as you said, our house is cleaned up, okay, there's no more grace period. Now, if something else comes out abandoned again, we're not going to wait a year to go get it. We just want it's abandoned. You're going to, if it's abandoned, is there a timeline for abandonment?
It's in the code.
Okay. So when that abandonment comes up, I want it enforced. I don't want to get into the situation we're in right now. Okay.
Well, and it would be best to coordinate it with the barge coming to haul it off, and we need a staging area for all the derelict vessels and so forth.
Okay, item 16, adjournment at 8:09.
Thank you.